It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today on It's a Good Life, we continue our study in the book of Romans. We're going to pick up with Romans chapter 9. Let me remind you that you need to have your Bible open with me each time we gather together to study the Word of God. Now, I would encourage you to do that with anyone who's teaching the Word of God. Have your Bible open and follow along to make sure that person is teaching you from the Word of God. Well, today in Romans chapter 9, we're going to see some things here about Paul the Apostle. He was sad, and we're going to look at that in the first part of this section here in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. It says, I say the truth. This is Paul speaking. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. We see here Paul's three witnesses concerning his great and continual sadness for these people, for his brethren here of Israel. We see how this is done. The witnesses are Christ, his conscience, and the Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We see that this is a thing that is done throughout the Word of God, that just because one witness steps forward and says something, that does not make it so. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, God says, it can be established. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's establishing his sadness because he's showing that there are three witnesses, Christ, his conscience, and the Holy Ghost. Well, then we also see this in verse 3. He says, For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Well, let me remind you here that Paul the Apostle was made an apostle to the Gentiles. Although he was an apostle to the Gentiles, he still had a great desire for his brethren to be saved, those Israelites. Well, Paul says, if I would do any good, in verse 3, and if it were possible, he could wish or desire to take his brethren, the Israelites in the flesh, that he could take his brethren's place and be separated from Christ. We know that that would not happen. And I believe his heart's desire was that, once again, he was willing to do what was necessary for his people to be saved. Now we look in Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, and we see Israel, the recipients of many blessings. Verse 4 says, Who are Israelites? Well, it's not asking a question, it's stating a fact. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Well, he's telling us who his brethren are. The brethren Paul speaks of in these verses that we're looking at, according to verse 4, are Israelites, because they were made a part of the nation of Israel by God. These Israelites received admiration, the covenants of God, the law and the Ten Commandments, and they were allowed to work for God. They also received the promises of God by being adopted by God, according to verse 4. Now, verse 5 says, Whose are the fathers? And again, it's not asking a question. It's telling us who these people are. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Well, these Israelites had human ancestors, and it talks about the fathers in verse 5. These were the patriarchs. A greater honor, though, was that Christ was and is greater than themselves and the ancestors. So Paul is presenting something here that is totally contrary to what the Jewish people believed in, or what they had been taught from the Pharisees, those people who were supposed to be well-educated in Jewish tradition and in Old Testament scriptures. Paul was telling them, look, you're my brethren. You're Israelites. You had your fathers, the patriarchs, but you didn't listen exactly to what the patriarchs were saying. He's giving them the plan of salvation here. Once again, he's telling them that they had all of this, and yet they refused Jesus Christ, who was greater than all the patriarchs. Let's look now on, go on now in verses chapter 6 through 29. Well, we see that this is a kind of a division here that takes place, that starting with verse 6. We see this division, the true children of God. Verse 6, God's promise to Israel refers ultimately only to those Israelites who become true children of God by faith. It says there in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. In Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, it talks about the promise of God. This promise, the promise of God, will not fail just because every descendant of Israel is not a true child of God. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says this, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. God's promise is not going to be made null and void simply because all of Israel is not saved and is and in coming to the kingdom, and the nation of Israel, we could actually say, will be the leading nation of the world. According to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, they are going to rule with the 12 apostles, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, but the Israelites who participated in the kingdom, who will participate only, will be those who have acknowledged the returning Christ as their Messiah and Redeemer. We've read that in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 to 11. Well, in the meantime, the Israelites who accept Christ in this age are also part of true Israel, while simultaneously being part of the Christian church. And in practice, they are no different from Gentile Christians. You can read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11 in connection with that. Well, we see the promise of God is illustrated by Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, according to Romans chapter 9, verses 7 through 13. And verse 7 says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, you see, all the biological children of Abraham, and you can go back and read Genesis chapter 17 and 25, and all of the children of Abraham, all of Abraham's children, only Isaac was of the line of promise. In fact, the promised seed in its ultimate fulfillment was none other than Christ himself. You can read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 in connection with that. When Romans chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Again, this has a dual application. Only those Israelites who are saved by faith in Christ participate in God's ultimate promises to the nation of Israel. Likewise, all who come to Christ by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are spiritual children of Abraham, saved through the promised seed. Now we read on in Romans chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And verse 10 says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac. And of course, this is talking about the promise that was to come. And Paul quotes from the Old Testament many times, as we read in the book of Romans. And once, let me remind you, the promise to come was Jesus Christ. And Paul's quoting here from the book of Genesis as we study through the book of Romans. In verses 11 through 13, it says, Romans chapter 9 now, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. not of works, but of him that calleth. Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, God's purpose and choice was not based upon works. When it came to choosing the lineage that Christ would come through, it was not based upon works, just as salvation is not based upon works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saves anyone. In these verses in Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, you see the word loved. Well, this means chosen. You also see the word hated. This means rejected. God sees things we don't see or understand. Well, next time we're going to pick up where we're leaving off here today in Romans chapter 9, and we'll read more and study more in the scriptures about the Israelites, Paul's brethren. And my great concern today is for everyone in the world to be saved. I believe that each person in this world needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that, you know, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. It also says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And in fact, the Bible says, for what is your life? Once again, it's a vapor. And then we see that in James chapter 4 and verse 14. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. And might I speak to you who are saved? You don't have the promise of tomorrow in this life. We could step out today into eternity. You do not have the promise of tomorrow. Therefore, you need to be busy about the Master's business today. You need to be letting people know that Jesus saves. You need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. Now, if you've read the Scriptures and you know the Scriptures and you're able to teach the Scriptures, then you need to be about the Master's business in helping others to learn more about the Scriptures. You need to tell people about Jesus' love. You need to help people to understand about Jesus' love. And you need to help them understand that Jesus wants every one of us to live for him. Now, if you're a saved person and you're not living for him, maybe you've gotten out of the will of God. You haven't lost your salvation, but you've lost the fellowship that you need to have with your Savior, with Jesus, and with God. You need to confess that sin, and you need to get things right with God even right now. Once again, you're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day that you need to be serving him. You need to serve him today and the rest of your life. Even if it ends today, you need to serve him today and step out into eternity. And I look forward to hearing the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I pray that you have that desire as well, that you, when you do step out into eternity and Jesus sees you and you see Jesus and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I pray that you will hear him say that to you. Why? Because you have served him in your life. You've done what you can do to help other people know him as Savior. You need to be thankful today for the life that Jesus Christ is giving you right now and the life to come. You can do that. You can show your love to Jesus by helping other people come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Won't you serve him today? Live for him, follow him, and let him take care of you in this life and the life to come.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.